Well, this morning we're talking about saving faith. You know, it's important that we understand what saving faith is. The Bible teaches us that the demons believe in God. They know who Jesus is, that He is the Son of the living God. They know what He's done. They know that He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins of all those who believe in Him. So to look at the demons and the kind of faith that they have in God, the belief they have in God, to know that He is real, that means that in order for us to understand what saving faith, faith has to go beyond what the demons believe. What is this saving faith that brings us into a relationship with God, a right relationship with Him, so that we can have that relationship that brings us peace and true faith in Him? Last Sunday, we talked about how Paul and Silas had been arrested, and as they were there in the prison cell, they had an opportunity to minister to the people that were around them. Even the jailer that was there began to share Christ with him. The scripture goes on to say that there was a violent earthquake that shook the prison, and it caused the shackles that were on them to fall off. It caused the prison doors to fly open. And when the jailer came and looked at things, he saw that all the doors were open, and he drew his sword to do himself in because he knew that that's what was going to happen to him anyway for having the prisoners released. And then suddenly he hears from the cell, "Don't do anything drastic," right? Told him, "We're all here. You don't have to worry." And it was through that witness of Paul's life and what Paul and Silas had already told this jailer about Jesus Christ that caused him to say this phrase, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's an incredible statement, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? And of course, Paul was ready with an answer. He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household." Now, the thing to understand about this statement is the main thing about this statement isn't the word believe. The main thing about this statement is the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we want to believe. Believe. The demons know who Jesus is, but their faith in Jesus cannot save them because there's something about their belief in Jesus that can't save them. And we want to talk about that more in just a few moments. But it says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." So what does it mean to believe if that's what we must do? First of all, to believe in whom? As we mentioned, the important thing is to believe in the Lord Jesus. And what does it mean to make Jesus Lord of your life? It means to acknowledge one as Lord. It means to pledge absolute allegiance to the one that you're claiming as Lord. It means completely to the one that says, "No longer am I going to live my life selfishly for me. Declare as Lord over my life, I dedicate and I commit myself to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's the big difference between a faith that the demons have and the faith that a child of God has, right? It is a commitment. The demons will never surrender their commitment to Christ. And this is what Paul said after he said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved." It says, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house." So what happened after Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus," then he shared what the word of the Lord had said, what Jesus had said, and how the words of the Lord change and transform our life. There's more to life than just hearing what God's word says, isn't there? We have to be willing to do what it says as well. I love what the minister's personal handbook says in its definition of what saving faith is. It says, "Saving faith is commitment. The commitment of your whole total being and life to Jesus Christ. It is the commitment of all you are and have to Christ. Saving faith gives everything to Christ. Therefore, it involves all of your affection. In giving your life to Jesus Christ and saying that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, has there been a point of commitment where you said, I am going to give everything, my whole life to Him, so that no matter what happens, no matter what affairs take place, the Lord is in control? That's what saving faith is. It goes on to say, you trust Christ to take care of your past sins, your present welfare, and your future destiny. Trust your whole life, being, and possessions into Christ's hands. You lay yourself upon Jesus' keeping, confiding in Him about your daily necessities, and acknowledging Him in all the ways of your life. Is Jesus that important to you that you want Jesus to be a part of everything that you do? Does Jesus affect the way that you speak Monday through Saturday? Does Jesus in your life affect the attitude that you have when you engage in conversations, when you seek to have relationships with other people? Do people know that Jesus is Lord of your life? It goes on to say you follow Christ in every area and in every detail of life, seeking His instructions and leaving your welfare up to Him. Saving faith is simply commitment of your whole being, all you are and have, to Christ. It seems like we live in a day and age where commitment seems to be less and less important. But the saving faith that we are talking about in Christ Jesus is a saving faith that says you must commit your whole life, your whole being to Him. Leave everything in His hands, and as you do, you leave the welfare of your life up to Him. It's not always an easy thing to do. We like to be in control, don't we? But in Christ Jesus, if we turn control over to Him, trusting Him in all the affairs of our life, we know that He is Lord of our life, and He will be Lord over everything if we will believe and trust in Him. Ephesians 4:22 says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. One of the problems with trusting in our own will and in our own way, our own choices, is we have a tendency to be corrupted by our deceitful desires. You know, a lot of people like to say things like, well, I will do what I feel is right and I will not do what I feel is wrong. But there's no standard. There's no guideline to go by. What you might think is right, I might think is wrong. What you might think is wrong, I might think is right. And where do we go to find out who is right and who is wrong? You may change your mind and I may change my mind, but if we go to that which is true, the very words of God. Remember after Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Then he shared the word of Christ with them. What Christ said, which is foundational in the Christian's life, to believe in that that doesn't change with the fads or the situations that may go on in our culture. What Jesus has said is true and will always be true. And we are taught in regard to our former way of living to take off that old self, the way we lived before we made Jesus Lord of our life. What does it mean to put off our old self? It literally means to take off, just like you would take off an article of clothing that had been soiled or destroyed in some way. You take that off and you lay it aside and then you take yourself of it, never to go back again. That's what you do when you rid yourself of your old self and you put it off because your old self is full of corruption. In James 1:21 it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept what? The word planted in you, which can do what? Can save you. That is saving faith. It is the Word of God that has already been spoken that will never change. It's going to be the same today, and it's going to be the same years from now. It doesn't change. It was true when Jesus spoke the Word with His own mouth. And that's what we trust in. Not in what we think is right. Not in what we want to be right. What we believe has to be guarded against God's Word of truth. Because it is that Word that has been planted in us that can save us as we get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent in our lives. In James 1:22, it says, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. It does absolutely no good to hear the Word of God. It does absolutely no good whatsoever to read the Word of God if we have no intention of doing what it says. It's kind of like that mother who asked the child, I need you to go do the dishes. That's a perfectly fine word of commission, right? Go do the dishes. But if the child never goes and does the dishes, the words of the mother mean absolutely nothing. It is only when that child hears the mother's words and then gets up and responds and goes and washes the dishes, then those words have meaning in their life. And that's what God needs of us as well. Our Heavenly Father says that He has given us His Word and that we are not to be hearers of the Word only, but we are to be doers as well. In other words, don't just listen to what God's Word says, but do what it says. Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a terrifying verse of Scripture because it means that there are some people out there who don't mind saying, Jesus is my Lord. Say it with their mouth, but with their life, they show something completely different. And the Scripture tells us that just because you say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean that that has brought salvation into your life. Just believe that Christ exists or that He died on the cross for the sins of the world, just because you believe that doesn't bring about salvation in your life. Belief is putting God's Word into practice in your life. Not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So who is it that will enter the kingdom of heaven? Verse 21, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does God's Word, who follows through, who says, not only do I believe that Jesus is Lord, but I'm making Jesus Lord of my life. He's in control of everything, not just on Sunday morning, but on Sunday and Monday and all the way through Saturday as well. Everything that I do, everything I'm a part of, Jesus Christ makes a difference in my life. Not all who cry, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the Father's will. Ephesians 4:22 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. But then it goes on to say, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to change your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So saving faith not only recognizes that there's something that needs to be taken off, which is the old self, but that something needs to be put on. Just like an article of clothing, once again, the clothing of righteousness, we put on the good things of God, which means we have laid aside the evil that once was so prevalent in our lives. We have put on the new things, which is the righteousness and holiness of God. And through that righteousness, others begin to recognize that we have made Jesus Lord of our lives, and it shows in the way we live. Did you know that you don't have to ever convince anybody that you are a good person? How many times do we try to convince others that we are good people? We don't have to. If Jesus is on the throne of our hearts, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, then we don't have to convince anybody of anything, because they will see the righteousness and the holiness that comes about in our lives. And the thing is, we probably won't even recognize it ourselves. Others will. But we're just going to make Jesus Lord because He is in the forefront, and we put ourselves in the back. The most godly and saintly people are not the ones who boast in themselves, but are the ones who boast in Christ Jesus, their Lord. That's why it says in Colossians 3, 9 and 10, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator." How many times do we lie to each other, trying to convince them that we're good people, when our lives are showing a completely different thing? Don't lie to each other. Instead, hear the word of truth and then do what it says. Make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, and you won't need to convince anybody of anything. You will just shine Christ, and Christ will be your everything. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves and see whether you are in the faith, in the saving faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." You know, it's easy to come to church. It's easy to say, "I believe in God." It's easy to sing the hymns and the songs that we sing in church and think that we're okay. But the Bible says to test ourselves, examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. Because if our lives have not been changed, if our lives have not been transformed by the very words of Christ Himself, because thing which Christ has asked us to do, and we continue in our old way of living, once we examine ourselves and see that no change has taken place, then we need to be quick to recognize that maybe we have not received the saving faith that God has asked us to accept by truly believing in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Don't you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. But if Jesus is in you, guess what your life is going to exemplify? The holiness and righteousness of God. And chances are you won't even know just how holy and righteous you're being as long as Christ is exalted and Christ is Lord of all that you do. Romans 6, 6 and 7 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should also no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." Have you been set free from sin, or do you continue in the slavery of your own sin? Those are some of the greatest signs of whether we have received this saving faith or not. We know that our old self was crucified with Him. Isn't that what Jesus did when He died on the cross? He took your sin and my sin. He became our sin so that when He died, our sin died with Him. Saving faith says, "I'm taking my old self, my sin, and I'm crucifying it to the cross with Christ because He did that for me." Have you crucified your own sin to the cross? Or does it continue to enslave you? And then in verses 11 and 12 of Romans 6, it says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires." In the same way, count yourself dead to sin. But not just dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. That's that symbol of taking off the old, putting on the new, so that the holiness and righteousness of God may rule and reign in your bodies. And then finally in Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Does Christ live in you? Do you recognize that He's called you to crucify your old life, to put it aside, to no longer go back to the slavery of that lifestyle that once kept you hindered, to live in the freedom that comes from being set free from sin, but making Jesus Lord of our lives, to be crucified with Christ so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's more than just believing. It's more than just acknowledging that He exists. The demons believe that, but they will never see salvation because they are not willing to obey the words that Christ has given them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this time that we have to open Your Word together, to study Your Word together, to see what Your Word says, Father. Because it's easy to hear all kinds of explanations and reasons of how we can be saved or what we must do or what we must not do. But Father, we live in a day and an age where people want to determine for themselves what is right and what is wrong. And many people are completely content without a committed relationship with You. But Father, help us to recognize that as children of God, we have to be committed to You, not just a little bit, but we have to go all in with all that we are to commit our lives to You faithfully in the things that we do, the things that we say, not only hearing Your Word, but putting Your Word into practice. And as we do so, allowing Your righteousness and Your holiness to dwell within our lives, that we never have to convince anybody of anything in our lives because they will already see who You are because it is You who lives in us and You are the one who deserves glory, honor, and praise. Father, help us to be humble. And if there's someone here today who has never reached that point where they've recognized that they need to make You Lord and Savior of their life, there's never been a time in their life where they've never said, I surrender my life and my sins over so that my life may be in Christ, a life of forgiveness and a life that is obedient to the Word of God. I pray that today is the day of their salvation. Today they will let go of themselves and take hold of You. And that as long as You give them breath, they'll live their life faithfully for You, their Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.